Connect with Jim Williams.
Welcome into ABQ Connect 2.0. Jennifer Bryant, nurse nutrition counselor, with us this afternoon. Jennifer, we haven't seen you for a while.
I know. It's been a little while. Yeah.
So your kids have grown 2 or 3 inches. They're in a different grade since we've seen
my 9-year-old has definitely grown a few inches. Yes.
Now he's going to be taller than mom pretty quick.
He is. He's close.
Are you going to freak out about that?
No, I'm okay. As long as he can still give me hugs, I'm
okay with it. How tall is your husband?
He is just under 6 foot.
Okay. Well, this is going to be a tall boy.
Yeah.
And your daughter?
She's 5.
Yeah.
And she's a little more average. She's not super tall for her age, but she's my feisty one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are the kids eating, Pop-Tarts and Captain Crunch at the Bryant household?
I'll tell you something. I do allow them some things like that every once in a while, but Pop-Tarts are one of those things that I always say, if it can sit on your pantry shelf for more than 6 months, you probably shouldn't eat it.
Oh, wow.
And Pop-Tarts are one of those things.
There we go. Well, Jennifer Bryant has been with us, as you know, several times over the past couple, 3 months, and we like to have her in about every 3 to 4 weeks. She is a registered dietitian. She has all kinds of credentials, including expertise in weight management, diabetes education, supplements, nutrigenomics. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, genomics.
Genomics, okay.
The science of studying how our nutrition interacts with our genes.
Oh. And so I did notice on your website that you talked about genetic testing as being something that you encourage people to do.
Yes.
What's the cost of doing something?
Yeah.
Like that?
So unfortunately, it's still pretty expensive. So I do have an option where somebody can just come in and do the test and have a one-time consultation with me. Mm-hmm. And that option is $495.
But that includes the test.
It does.
That's
and it includes the hour and a half that we spend together going over the results, which is, you know, I had a client that did this. Actually, he called in a couple shows ago and he said, you know, the test information is amazing, but if I would have just gotten this information and not had a chance to talk to you about it, I would have no idea what to do.
Yeah.
And so that consultation piece is really important with that as well.
Well, and I'm going to base some of my comments now on things that we've talked about in the past. Mm-hmm. So if you are elder, which I qualify for, I'm going to say 50 or over.
Okay.
You might be using medications or doing different things that could somehow be creating a nutritional deficit, and by doing this, you're going to find out what's actually happening, and you might have to supplement a little bit.
Yeah, right? Well, so genetic testing is a little bit different. It's not like blood testing, where if you went into your doctor and you got a blood test to test for your vitamin D levels, and he or she said, you're really low, Jim, you need a vitamin D supplement. It's not like that. What the genetic test is going to tell you is it's going to tell you risk for certain things. So, for example, there is a mutation in what we call our MTHFR gene. And
I want all of our listeners to memorize this. We'll have a test on our website.
This is just an example. You do not have to remember the acronym, of course.
Okay.
But this gene actually encodes for the methylation of folate. And the only way that folate can be absorbed in our bodies is if it's methylated. And so if you have a variation of this gene, it's very possible that your body does not methylate folate like it should, and therefore you're not absorbing as much folate as you should, and therefore you possibly need a folate supplement.
Mm. And you can tell that about a number of nutrients.
Exactly, yes. That was just one example.
Now, is blood testing also important?
Blood testing is absolutely important. The blood test is going to show you more of a snapshot of, like, today, what is your nutrient status looking like? Mm. And so that's, you know, you're looking at two different things. The genetic testing is sort of like the preview for what's going to happen in your life movie. Mm-hmm. And the blood test is like, okay, what happened today in your movie? This is how you're looking
today.
So
if somebody wants a blood test, that's not something you guys do.
No, I don't. I do have a couple of doctors that I partner with that I can say, hey, I have a client that needs this blood test. Can you see this person?
And a lot of folks with health insurance can go to a lab that's approved by their health insurance plan, and then they can bring you the results, and that can all be part of the consultation.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
What about younger people doing that? Do younger people have deficiencies in certain areas?
Yes. And I think it's a misconception that, you know, as we age, we need more than we do when we're young. We really need all of it all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, in your 20s and 30s, you're not really thinking about going to the doctor regularly. But it's really just as important to go when you're young, especially with some of these chronic diseases. If you can catch them early, you can really, you know, maintain healthy symptoms and reduce the symptoms when you're younger.
So I'm going to go all the way back to the first time we put you on the air, which was back in early July.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to quote this exactly, but the gist of what you said is the best predictor of weight gain,
yes,
is whether or not you have been on a diet,
yes,
of some time in recent months.
Yes.
So let's start talking about diets today, because almost all of us have tried dieting.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to also let our audience know, I know there's movements, and you mentioned one. Why don't you mention it again? It's
the healthy at every size movement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so there are people that I think are very well intentioned. They,
yes,
want people to have a great self image of themselves, regardless of whether they are heavy or,
right,
thin or tall or short or whatever. I'm really tall.
Mm-hmm.
And just honestly, I make fun of people that are short just because it's fun. I'm just kidding. I try not to do that, but some people will come to me and they'll say, gee, you know, this really tall person, and I always think, what is a tall person to them? 5'8", 6 foot? That's not a tall person to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason I'm bringing all this up is I don't want to joke about body image.
Right.
Because it's very important. But all of us know, as believers, that God has created us all uniquely.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves all of us the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he loves people that don't even believe in him,
mm-hmm,
in the same way. And so I want people to be encouraged that what we're trying to do is share some information,
mm-hmm,
that can help you become more healthy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And generally, I think it is a fact of science that if you are carrying a certain amount of body weight, that is not ideal for your health situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it could be 5 pounds, it could be 100 pounds,
yeah,
or more.
There's a lot of conflicting research about that, actually. So we're not totally sure how much or to what extent simply having excess weight, what impact that has on our health. So the hard part is to look at somebody who has very healthy behaviors. Let's say they're exercising regularly. Let's say they're eating very well, but potentially they have some extra weight. And then compared to somebody who maybe is a normal weight, who doesn't exercise at all, who doesn't eat very healthy, and you look at those two people, and metabolically, it is very likely that that person who's carrying a few extra pounds is healthier.
Wow.
And so it's not necessarily true that when you're carrying extra weight, you are more unhealthy. That's not necessarily true. And so that's what I think this movement is trying to shift focus a little bit into. The focus doesn't need to be on weight loss or having that ideal body weight or whatever your doctor wants to call it, mm-hmm, or looking at the BMI. But the focus should be more on, let's change some behaviors and let's be healthier.
Outstanding. We're going to be back and start talking about diets a little bit. First, we're going to talk about keto and vegetarian or vegan style diets.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us with Jennifer Bryant. She's on ABQ Connect this afternoon. We'll be right back.
Hey, Boudicke, Car Spa here. In the car care cleaning arena, Flex Service means one-stop everything, from express washing with courtesy vacuuming to our legacy full service and express and high-end detailing. We simply do it all at one stop, and we're the locals that have been doing it right for 46 years. We invite you to come and wash with us on the west side at our new Car Spa Flex West at 5401 Sevilla and Coors, across from Ginger's. See what you've been missing. Your car will be glad you did.
Duke City Ready Mix is all about quality on every load and delivering that quality when we say we will, equating it to the best service in the valley. Our goal is to enhance our communities with self-sustaining families through employment at Duke City and giving back to the communities who have given so much to us. Duke City Ready Mix. Quality, service, community. The premier concrete, sand, and gravel company in the valley. Contact us at 877-5777. Or at QualityMattersHere.com.
Change is inevitable, like the weather. Is your home's heating system running? Remove dampener, check filter, inspect compartments. Wait, I might have to get up on the roof for all this? Inspect heat changer, shut down furnace, properly clean flame sensor. Wait, how do I do that again? Turn on gas valve and check for leaks. Wait, slow down. Gas leaks? Check pilot assembly tubes. Verify blower compartment door is closed. Ready or not, change is coming. When it does, call Bosque Heating and Cooling at 444-7200. That's 444-7200. We'd love to help.
This is Steve Ryman from the KNKT Business Relations Office. Did you know that according to Simmons Research, 72% of Christian radio listeners prefer to buy from a business that advertises on their radio station? 62% say they would shop more at a known business if it advertised on Christian radio. I'll introduce your company to the KNKT listening family. Our listeners make great customers. Email me now at advertise@knkt.com. That's advertise@knkt.com. And I'll show you that KNKT means business.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, in studio with me this afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on ABQ Connect. Jennifer, you are gracious to give us your time, but we're going to start talking right away about dieting, because almost all of us have done it. Tell us a little bit about keto versus vegetarian or vegan kind of diets.
Yeah, so there's always something popular, right? If you can think back over the last 20, 30 years, you know, we've had multiple kinds of movements, and usually what's popular at the time, the next thing that's popular is almost exactly opposite of what was just popular that's sort of going out.
But isn't
style.
A keto diet, meaning that you're putting your body into ketosis?
Yes.
You're actually burnt. You're converting proteins into energy or fat.
Mostly fat. Yes.
You're converting fat into energy as opposed to using carbohydrates.
Yes.
I mean, that's what the Atkins diet did, right?
Yes. They're very, very similar. So the first phase of the Atkins diet required that you be under 20 grams of carb. Mm-hmm. And the keto diet is very similar. They say to be under 5% of your total calories of carbs. So what that means is on a 1500 calorie diet, you would be under 19 grams of carb. Mm. So compare that to the 20 of Atkins and they're virtually identical. A little bit of difference is the Atkins diet actually promoted a little bit more protein, whereas the keto diet promotes a little bit more fat. Mm. So that's kind of a major difference. But essentially they're very, very similar. The keto diet actually goes back a long time, almost 100 years. Doctors discovered that in somebody that has frequent seizures or epilepsy, if they starved the brain of carbohydrates, then the seizures would greatly diminish or in some cases actually go away.
Wow.
And so that was the first sort of exposure with the keto diet. And they actually still use it in kids today who don't respond well to medications. And so now we're looking at it as another one of our fancy diets that we feel like will maybe help us lose weight. But like you said before, Jim, anybody who goes on a diet, it's the number one predictor of future weight gain. And so it doesn't work.
Jennifer, what's different about what you do? And we're going to talk about a whole bunch of other diets.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, you've mentioned some benefits of the keto diet.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you this. I'm the father of a young lady that is a type 1 diabetic. Mm-hmm. She was diagnosed when she was 4. Has been very healthy. We're blessed. She's finishing her senior year of college, did athletics very successfully, and is a writer. And so we're really happy about that, all that. But as soon as you say keto to a type 1 diabetic, that's not a good
thing.
That
is not a good thing.
And so it's funny to me that they would name it that, because it just doesn't seem to be a good name.
Yeah.
Explain to us what ketosis is and how that works.
Yeah, that's a good question. So, ketosis basically is the process of, instead of our body using glucose for immediate energy, it uses fat. And so what the body has to do is it actually has to figure out a way to turn that fat into our usable energy. And in the process, it produces ketones. And so these ketones are actually very acidic. And so, with type 1 diabetes, for example, when you're producing a lot of excess ketones, your blood pH can actually change, and it can become more acidic. And this is where you hear the term ketoacidosis, where And this doesn't happen in a normal, in somebody that doesn't have diabetes, but it happens often in people with diabetes when their body cannot get that sugar into the cells like it needs to for energy. And so it uses fat as an alternative fuel source. So it's not the way that the body prefers to use energy necessarily or to make energy, but it's the way that it happens when the body is starved of carbohydrates.
Gotcha. And so people are on purpose.
Yes.
And I mean, I've done this. Yeah. So you don't eat carbs for 48 hours to 72 hours. You feel, at least I do, I feel a little bit like I have the flu for several hours. Instead of having, you know, a clear head, you start feeling a little
foggy
and it's an unusual feeling. But it actually goes away after a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And then in my own case, I mentioned to you before, I'm like a chipaholic, so I got to stay away from chips. Well, when I just eliminated chips, I was really able to lose almost a pound a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I ever felt well in my head. And I'm told that if you get used to it, it's fine.
Right.
But personally, it made me feel terrible.
Yeah, and you're talking about the keto flu, which is a common side effect. And if you can get past that, it usually happens in the first couple of days to maybe some people. It takes about 2 weeks for that to happen. If you can get past that, then your body actually does learn to function fairly well on a solely, you know, fat-heavy, moderate protein, very low carbohydrate diet. So you can sort of teach your body how to do that well, but you have to stick with it through that period where you really just don't feel well. And there, you know, so many people love the keto diet and will say praises of it, but it's like any other thing. If it's something that you feel like you can't stick with long term, then it's not going to do you any good. As soon as you get off of it, then you're going to start seeing that weight regain again.
Compare that to vegetarian or vegan type.
Yeah. Diets. So vegan especially, but also vegetarian, you're looking at kind of a complete shift in your macronutrients. And when I say macronutrients, I'm talking about fat, protein, and carbohydrates. And so vegan and vegetarian diets tend to be a little heavier on the carbohydrate side, a little bit more, again, maybe moderate protein. So that's something that is probably similar throughout both types of diets, but then the fat content is going to be quite a bit lower as well. So there's a complete shift in macronutrients, and some people do really well on the vegan. And actually, going back to that genetic testing that we were talking about earlier, there is actually a gene that tells you which diet your body would likely prefer for your metabolism. And so not saying that you have to go vegan or you have to go full keto, but your tendencies for what you're eating may want to lean more one way or the other, depending on the information that your genes tell us.
So I know that if you go on Weight Watchers, for example, you're buying prepackaged foods, and maybe those foods are great and wonderful. The ones I've tasted, I wouldn't go to great and wonderful on.
Right.
But they're probably fairly healthy. And I know that they've had some success. But when I look at the expense, most of the folks that go on these prepared food diets are spending a bunch of money.
So much, yes.
So I want to step back and I want to say, okay, would that money have been better spent doing a blood test? And doing, you know, one of these genetic testing scenarios, talking with a counselor, coming up with a plan, because you can eat really healthy food, I think have more fun preparing it, preparing it with your friends too, or your family. Are the Bryant kids learning how to cook?
They are, actually.
There you go.
They do. They have some things that they do help me with every day.
I like
setting
it.
The table, chopping, washing. I will say that, you know, when you're looking at which is best for somebody, I think you really have to look at long-term goals, because if you are somebody who really just wants to lose some weight quickly, then potentially a prepackaged option would be helpful. But really, that doesn't teach you anything. You know, it's nice because it's portion controlled. You don't have to think, but because you don't have to think, you're not learning how to do this long term. And so I think that's where the mind shift change needs to come. I think we really need to think about, how are we taking care of our bodies? How are we treating our bodies? What are we feeding our bodies? And how does that impact the way that we live?
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, in studio with us this afternoon. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back talking about some more diet stuff, sugars, and self-control, and all this stuff required to help us be healthy. We'll be right back.
How does KNKT mean business? KNKT is in the business of sharing the gospel. KNKT is also supported by local businesses who we, in turn, encourage you to support with your patronage. Here's Steve Ryman visiting one such business.
And we're back in studio visiting with Elaine Ramos from Ramos Real Estate. And Elaine, first, thanks for coming back in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We've been hearing on the air one of your commercials that's running, and you've really done, well, you do such a great job to help people get into the home of their dreams. But between now and the end of the year, you came up with an idea that's going to make it even easier.
Yeah, that's right. It's my fifth year anniversary as qualifying broker of my brokerage, Ramos Real Estate. And I thought, how can I celebrate? Sometimes you can have a party, but I thought, no, I'd rather give back to my clients. And sometimes I give back through carpet cleaning or something like that. But no, I thought money.
Okay.
Money speaks. And I would love to help my clients out by giving them a $500 credit, which is real money, towards closing costs and prepaids from now to the end of the year.
Well, and then I know you were telling me that you were talking to someone else on your team, Eleanor, mm-hmm. about what you were doing.
Yes.
And Eleanor thought it was a great idea.
Yes, Eleanor jumped on the idea. She loved it, and she wanted to participate.
Thank you for allowing me to be here and celebrate with Elaine her 5 years as a qualifying broker and owning her own company. I'm super excited to partner with her on this special, which is I am, in addition to the $500 that she's going to contribute, I will contribute another $500, which will come right off of your closing costs. Together, that special to you is $1,000 off closing costs. And we are super honored and excited to give back to the community and help people accomplish the dream of home ownership.
And let me say right now, for those that are doing the, you know, well, come on. No, it's $1,000. It's real money. It's going to make a real difference in the purchase of a new home. So, Elaine, those that are excited about it and they want to contact you and find out how to make this happen, how do they do that?
They can call me at 505-379-6845 or go to my website, RamosRealEstateNM.com.
To hear your business featured on KNKT, email advertise@knkt.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling, in studio with me this afternoon. If you'd like to give Jennifer a call and ask her a question about diet or food or any of these other great topics, call us at 505-338-5790. You may have worked with Jennifer, have something good to say about her. Please call in any question at all, 505-338-5790. And I want to make it a little bit fun. I'm going to give away some, let's give away some tickets to Hinkle Family Fun Center. And, we have a 4-pack of family fun pack tickets at Hinkle. They're celebrating their 25th anniversary. What a fun place to go and what the perfect time of year to go have some fun up at Hinkle Family Fun Center. So give us a call at 338-5790. Jennifer, we're going to talk now about sugar practical strategies and how to limit sugar intake.
Mm-hmm.
So is this going to be a problem for me since I could eat an entire large bag of peanut M&Ms in one sitting?
Yeah. So it's interesting. So many people come and they tell me, I really have a problem with sugar. I just can't seem to get control over what I'm eating. You know, once I start, I just can't stop. And so I hear these things quite often. And it's really true that sugar and also fats have some addictive properties. So we have this appetite center in our brains that when we eat something that tastes really good,
mm-hmm.
there's a chemical released that actually causes us to want to eat it more. Sometimes in the moment, and then other times that chemical will come back to haunt us later on when we get a craving for whatever we really enjoyed the taste of. So our brains have a lot to do with it, and it's actually a very similar response to a drug. And so there is such a thing as sugar addiction. And so there's a couple of ways to really think about that, but I think that people really need to evaluate themselves and say, you know, what's happening here? What are the foods that I feel like I can't control? And it might be very realistic and very possible for them to say, I'm not going to eat those for a while. I need to give my body a sort of reset phase where I just don't eat those foods that I feel like I can't control. And that's actually the easier part. We tend to be all or nothing people. Mm-hmm. And so finding that middle, happy, gray area isn't always so easy. And so the real challenge comes then when you try to add back that food that you felt like you can't control, and you add it back with the mindset that now you're going to be able to control it. And so that's really where the challenge comes in. But often a reset period actually really helps people get rid of those brain chemicals that are causing them to crave sugar or to feel like when they start eating sugar that they can't stop.
Well, I make a joke out of Lay's potato chips and being a chipaholic,
yeah.
But I'm really not kidding.
Right.
I mean, I have to stay completely away. If I go to any of the fine New Mexican food restaurants in our fair town, mm-hmm. and I get chips and salsa, I lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, three baskets of chips later, I'm like feeling guilty that I just ate all of those. And the truth is that, you know, maybe once in a while that's okay, mm-hmm. but I really don't want to get back into eating all of those chips.
Right.
And, you know, I joke about peanut M&Ms. I mean, kind of the same thing. So I don't just need a reset. I just need to stay away from those things.
Right. Well, and you know, I think the attitude of all foods can fit is actually a really healthy one. But I think the other piece that comes into this is what you're talking about is when we eat those foods that are high fat and high sugar often and we eat them mindlessly, that's really where it becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. And so you think about where you have trouble with your chips. And my guess is, Jim, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're probably not sitting at the table thinking intently about the chips that you're eating. When you
no,
eat the whole
I'm
bag.
Watching, I'm watching a football game
yes,
or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So I think if we sort of thought about how do we eat foods, we would see that a lot of times where we feel addicted is when we're eating mindlessly and we're not thinking about it.
Mm. Talk to us about, I actually laughed when I read this on the list of our questions. Self-control as a concept in what and how we are eating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like you laugh because who has self-control?
Right. Well, and that's what a lot of people tell me. They tell me they don't have any willpower.
Yeah.
They use the word willpower usually mm-hmm. when it's related to food. And they're really the same thing.
Sure.
When you're talking about willpower, you're talking about self-control. And so I like to think of self-control as like a muscle. Okay. So think about how you treat your muscles. If you exercise them and you use them frequently and regularly, what happens?
They get stronger.
They get stronger. Okay. If you use that self-control muscle a lot in one day or you use it too much, you overuse it, what happens? You're exhausted.
Yeah, you're exhausted. Yeah.
Right. And that muscle doesn't work very well. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance. I think we need to practice using self-control in some situations. And we also need to make sure that we're not overusing that self-control muscle. And that happens when we give ourselves too many rules for what we're eating.
I know this is simple, but I know people that literally are tortured by this. They would, most Christians would consider this temptation.
Yes.
And we continually submit to this temptation. Mm-hmm. And I love to look at the Bible because the Bible says very clearly, there is no temptation that is not common to man. This is not a new thing.
No.
But with every temptation, God will provide you a way of escape mm-hmm. that you may be able to endure it. And I find it interesting that most of us don't think about escaping. We think about enduring it, staying right. in the situation
right.
and enduring it.
Right.
That's not what God equipped us to do.
No.
He gave us the ability to get away from this
yeah.
stuff.
Yep. And you think about, you know, the struggle with eating and just the decisions. Every day you have to make decisions on what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat. There are so many decisions based on what we put into our bodies. And I think that it's a very important concept to remember that God calls us to be self-controlled. Mm. And that's not that he's not talking about other categories here. He's talking about every area of our lives. And so, you know, if that's something that you struggle with self-control with your food, first of all, you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Like you said,
sure,
it's everybody struggles with self-control at some point or another. And then second of all, I think we don't ask for help from God enough for that. Mm. You know, we sort of think, oh, this is something that I have to deal with or that I have to endure, like you said, but that's not true, you know?
Right. Well, and, you know, unfortunately I've had some friends of mine that have dealt with things like alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bible also says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Mm-hmm. So they're never going to walk into a bar mm-hmm. and try to resist drinking alcohol. Mm-hmm. They're not going to do that
right.
because they know that's not the place they need to be.
It's too tempting.
It's too tempting. So these are all things that we need to consider. But I find that you can substitute the time that you're spending in this mindless activity mm-hmm. of just eating
mm-hmm.
by being in the kitchen and creating some, even I know you've got some recipes and things on your website
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of things people can pull up that are low fat and very delicious. The food that I see that are in recipes is beautiful looking.
Yeah.
It's always really pretty.
Yeah.
And it always, you know, involves peppers and different applications of vegetables and things that most of us don't ever do.
Right.
You know, most of us throw some hamburger on a skillet and big slab of cheese and maybe a little green chili and that's what we're eating.
Right.
And I'm not discouraging people from eating cheeseburgers because I like them, but there's some other things yeah. that you might substitute, like chicken instead or some more vegetables and just make it a more healthy meal.
Well, and what you're talking about, Jim, is you're talking about making the meal more appealing to you. And we know, research shows that when we sit down at the table, we make our food look nice. So we have all the different colors, you know, and I'm not talking about like a piece of cake with sprinkles. I'm talking about, you know, all the different colors of vegetables and things. The research shows that we are more satisfied with what we are eating. When we sit down, we look at our food, it looks appealing. We eat it, we enjoy it while we're thinking about it, and we have more satisfaction from that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be back with more with Jennifer Bryant right after these messages, and we're going to be talking about the body mass index. Stay with us.
You are cordially invited to attend Albuquerque Christian Children's Home annual holiday affair, benefit dinner, and auction Saturday night, November 16th at Embassy Suites Hotel in Albuquerque. Bid on items in the silent auction from 5 to 6:30 with dinner with live auction to follow. Tickets are available now by calling 898-5520. That's 898-5520. All proceeds to benefit Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, providing care for at-risk children since 1970. Details online at acchkids.org.
At Albuquerque Christian Children's Home, we believe that children are truly a gift from God. That's why we open our arms and our hearts to children who have been abused, neglected, or abandoned, children who are hurting and scared. Although we have lots of love to give, caring also takes dollars. You can help provide a safe haven for these children by making a tax-deductible donation online at acchkids.org or by calling us at 898-5520.
Gonstead Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury, pain in your back, neck, shoulders, arms, and legs, as well as numbness in your extremities. Dizziness and bladder or bowel issues can all be symptoms. 90% of doctors treating spinal ligament injuries don't know how to determine the severity and location of this condition. At Gonstead Physical Medicine, all of the providers are trained to do this. Schedule a consultation today at gonstead-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with Jennifer Bryant, Nourish Nutrition Counseling. Jennifer, give us your website. A lot of good information for people on that.
Yeah, it's www.nourishednutritioncounseling.com.
outstanding. And we have Lori on the phone. She has a question about multivitamins. Lori, where are you calling from today?
From Albuquerque.
From Albuquerque. What's your question for Jennifer?
Hi. So I was just wondering what's better for my – I have a four-year-old, and I heard something not too long ago about the multivitamins.
Mm-hmm.
It might not be – it might pretty much be just a waste of money for me. And, you know, getting those for him when he can just be – when he can be getting that from his food.
Right.
Like the nutrients or the vitamins. So I'm wondering, you know, if you have any info on that.
Yeah. Is it worth it, right? Yeah, so there's a couple of things to say about that. First of all, our vitamins in general, our supplements in general are not very well regulated. So I always recommend, my clients, my friends, my family, everybody to really stick to a well-known brand because those are definitely more regulated than some of the other smaller brands. And also there's a lot of healthcare providers that have supplements available and those are typically a good option too. They have really good quality standards. So that's the first thing is don't just necessarily buy the cheapest multivitamin, but buy a brand that's well known. Okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I actually feel like multivitamins they're what I call cheap insurance. Okay. So Laura, you are a 4 year old. Does he eat super well and super healthy every day?
As far as like veggies and his protein, I try to incorporate it. Yes. For the most part.
Yeah. So, and I know my kids, like they're pretty picky sometimes. They're not always eating 100%, you know? And so I like the idea of a multivitamin just for a little insurance. So if there's a day that they don't eat super well, that's okay. You know? Now if there's multiple days in a row where they're not eating well, that's probably not okay. But I like the multivitamin for a little bit of insurance for whatever nutrients we're missing for the day. And I say that for adults too. Multivitamins are fairly inexpensive and I actually recommend them to actually 100% of my clients, unless there's a really, you know, a big issue with their health or something. But I actually do think that they're a good way to just make sure that you're getting everything you need. Now, lastly, your comment about is it better to get it from food? Absolutely. So still absolutely, you know, be giving your son super healthy choices and really good options. But at the same time, having a multivitamin, and it doesn't even have to be every day, but maybe a few times a week would be a really good way to just make sure that he's getting everything he needs.
Now, Jennifer, you mentioned on a previous program, Lori, I appreciate your call very much and make sure you give your information to Tim so that you can get your passes to Hinkle Family Fun Center. That'll be a fun thing for you to do with your 4 year old. But last thing I wanted to say is I've noticed a lot of products. Of course, I had five kids, a lot of products. The gummy bear multivitamin has like 20% sugar in it. The very first ingredient is sugar. You got to kind of read the labels a little bit.
Yeah,
on this stuff.
For sure. And there has been some research that has come out recently that shows that some of those gummy vitamins are, they lose their potency a lot more quickly than some of the other vitamins. So typically I would recommend for kids either a chewable option or a liquid option would be a good way to go.
Very nice. Lori, thanks for the call today. We appreciate it very much. Jennifer, let's move on now to the body mass index. Tell us what that's all about.
Okay, so probably everyone listening has had their doctor tell them what their BMI is. So they abbreviate it BMI, and it's a ratio of your weight to your height. And what it tells us is it tells us if you're underweight, normal weight, overweight, or obese. And even within that obese category, it gives us class 1, class 2, and class 3 obesity. And so this was actually a scale that was developed by a life insurance company in the 1940s. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so interesting because what they were doing even before we knew very much about health and nutrition and weight was they were assuming that weight has a lot to do with a person's health. Mm-hmm. Which we talked about a little bit earlier, and we're not so sure that that's true. So the BMI, though, basically tells us our status compared to the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And so this includes undernourished populations, as well as countries, you know, like ours. And so I think that it's really a gross misrepresentation of health. And I think that it's really sad that doctors use this as one of the main tools in assessing someone's health. And when you go to the doctor and they tell you your BMI is overweight, what's the next thing that they say? You know, your doctor has 2 minutes to spend with sure. you, right? And so they tell you, number one, you're overweight. Number two, you need to lose weight. Number three, don't eat anything white or yeah. whatever they say. They'll yeah. give you a short.
So a little white bread, white sugar.
Yeah,
those kind of things.
Yeah. They'll give you a short something to do. And so essentially what's happening, though, is you walk out of that doctor's office with this feeling of defeat. You know, oh, no, if I don't lose weight, something bad's going to happen to my health. My doctor didn't really give me any concrete instructions on what to do here. And so you leave just sort of feeling like you don't know what to do and upset about the diagnosis.
Well, is it true? I have a banking background, and I can tell you that over 70% of customers that I worked with over the years, and I think this is true with most bankers, do not balance their checkbooks. Okay. Now, we don't have checkbooks now. A lot of people use Mint and all these other fancy electronic things. But the truth is that the majority of people do not actually always deposit more money than they spend.
Yes.
And so when we say to someone, the way to maintain a healthy weight mm-hmm. and a healthy body is to use, eat less calories than you are burning.
Right.
On a daily basis, or make them equal, or however close to that.
Right.
So in American society, we eat so much food mm-hmm. that we don't burn all the calories, and then the majority of them are stored as fat on our bodies.
Right.
I mean, is that the simplicity of this?
It is, but it is actually a lot more complicated.
Okay.
So I think, and this is all healthcare professionals are guilty of this, including myself. I think we try to make things too objective sometimes. We try to make it about the equation, the calories in and the calories out. But if you think about you as a person and all the things that go into your decisions about what to eat during your day, there's so much more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even with that, there's so much more to our foods. It's not just simply looking at calories. So you can have a, you know, 200 calorie Snicker bar and a 200 calorie plate of chicken and broccoli. And how is that food going to affect your body? Well, it's going to affect your body a lot differently, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so we know that it's more about calories, or it's more than just about calories. And so that's a really, we can use calories when we talk about what to eat and how much to eat and all of that, but it's really so much more than that too. So we have to be a little bit careful that we don't oversimplify it. Just because there's so many other things to us as people.
More with Jennifer Bryant. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be back after these messages.
This is Pastor Scott. Remember the drive-in movie experience? So enjoyable. There were swings and games, the concession stand with the wonderful smell of popcorn drifting around, the movie, of course. Join us Friday, September 27th at 6 p.m. for Movie in the Field at Douglas MacArthur Elementary. It's going to be fun. Info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
It's amazing how a simple mouth swab can now reveal whether you're related to Abe Lincoln, have a Viking as an ancestor, or maybe even have a few family skeletons in your closet.
The whole point of Rahab, in fact, the whole point of most of the biblical record, is God's grace, that God saves undeserving people.
But God had plans for Rahab that included her being an ancestor of Jesus. Just like Rahab, you have been adopted by God through Jesus. Regardless of your past, Jesus changes your future. Discover more about the DNA of redemption with Skip Heitzig's book, Bloodline. It's our way to say thanks for your generous donation of $35 or more today to help connect even more people to Jesus. We want to send you this resource, so call now or go online to give what you can. Go to connectwithskip.com/offer or call 800-922-1888. That's 800-922-1888.
Relationships are one of God's most precious gifts to us. Hi, I'm Bob Lapine. Each day on Family Life Today with Dennis Rainey, we look at what Jesus described as the two most important commandments, loving God and loving each other, especially in our family relationships. Join us each weekday on KNKT-FM for Family Life Today to develop godly marriages and families that change the world one home at a time.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us back in ABQ Connect. Jennifer Bryant, Nourished Nutrition Counseling in studio. We've got a couple more segments with Jennifer, and we've got somebody that's sent in a message that says, if someone wants to gain 25 pounds of muscle in 3 months, what would that diet have to look like? But before you answer that, that's got to be coming from a skinny guy that wants to be a football player.
Maybe. I actually get asked that question quite a bit. I think, Jim, on our last session, I mentioned that I work at the YMCA. Uh-huh. And so there's always people trying to ask me how to gain muscle, trying to, you know, gain weight. And so the first thing that I will say is that the body is very good at being in two different modes. So there's an anabolic mode, which is where you're building muscle or you're building fat or you're gaining weight. Okay. And then there's a catabolic mode where you're losing weight, you're losing fat, you're losing muscle. Okay. These two modes, the body cannot do at the same time. Okay. It's really bad at that. So people that are trying to gain muscle and not gain any fat, it's very hard to do that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Or people who are trying to lose fat and gain muscle, it's very hard to do that. So that's the first thing to know, is that when you're trying to gain weight, it's gonna be a little bit of everything. It's gonna be both, you know, muscle, protein, and it's also gonna be a little bit of fat. So like what bodybuilders do actually is they go in phases, and they'll do a building phase followed by a cutting phase. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you have to do, because like I said, the body's just not good at doing both at the same time. So generally speaking, it's the opposite of what you would be doing for weight loss. And so it's exactly opposite of what you were just saying, Jim. You have to eat more calories than you're burning to build muscle, period. End of story. And so some of that, of course, needs to be protein, because we know that our body does well with building muscle when we eat a little bit more protein. A lot of people take that too far. It doesn't have to be a ton of protein.
I was going to ask you what you think about these protein shakes and all these kind of things.
Yeah. So sometimes they're helpful. They're helpful for increasing calories. They're helpful to, it's kind of like a multivitamin. They're helpful to fill in gaps. If you feel like you're having a hard time chewing that much chicken breast, you know, a protein shake might be beneficial. But bottom line, you have to eat more calories than you're burning to be able to build muscle.
Well, and I would think that most young athletes, male or female, aren't going to have any problem eating a lot of calories.
Well,
I mean, I know when I was young, we were eating 5, 6, 7, maybe an 8,000 calories a day.
Yeah, you'd be surprised, Jim. So I actually have some personal experience with this too. My brother played Division I football, and he was an offensive lineman, and he was one of the small guys. He was about 270.
That's not a small guy.
He's tall too, but he's small for Division I offensive line. And so his coach was always saying, Mike, you've got to get to 300. You've got to get to 300. So he wanted him to gain 30 pounds. And I remember my brother calling me, and I was working at that point, but I was barely working. You know, I had just graduated, and he asked me, Jen, how do I gain weight? And so our solution, which worked only to an extent, because his body just did not want to be 300 pounds. He ate a lot of nuts. He added a lot of oil and butter to his vegetables and his meats. And so we added some of those healthy fats to sort of make up some of those calories so that he didn't feel like he was having to eat so much. But he told me multiple times, Jen, I'm just so tired of eating. And so definitely when you're younger, especially, you can get to a point where you are actually tired of eating, and it's hard to eat more than you're burning.
What is your goal for most of us, though? Most of us are not having too much trouble until a certain point in our lives. Is that 30 years old? Is it 35? I mean, when does that really change for us?
I think it definitely starts probably when you hit 30. Yeah. And there's research that shows when we hit 30, we start losing our muscle mass. Mm. So our peak muscle mass is usually in our late 20s. And then unless we really work at it, we lose a couple pounds of muscle every year.
So do you have to go buy an expensive gym membership to build a little muscle, or is doing, you know, 4 sets of 20 push-ups, doing some sit-ups, doing some squats without weight in place, mm-hmm. lunges, those kind of things, is that enough to help you build body mass?
It really depends on the person, and then it really depends on frequency and also intensity of what you're doing. So I think it's very possible to maintain that muscle mass at home. I think that there are some tools that can be really helpful to do that. There's a lot of, you know, resistance bands, kettlebells. There's some suspension training techniques that you can use. There's lots of different things. So no, you don't have to get an expensive gym membership. Yes, you do have to try.
Well, I also want to say this. I mean, I'm not going to encourage people to work out by themselves, because I just don't think we're made up to work out by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We're designed for fellowship.
Yes.
We're designed to be with God's people and friends and family and hold each other accountable. And frankly, it's got to be fun.
Yeah.
When I've coached kids in basketball, if it's not fun, and I mean, these kids play hard. I'm not substituting, you know, frankly, I'm not a big proponent of participation trophies. Now, maybe when they're 5, but when they get to be, you know, 8, 10 years old, they're competing. They're getting a life lesson in sports. Mm-hmm. If they're involved in music, they're going to be expected to keep up with other musicians. I mean, it's one of those things where if you're working out, you need to be with other people. Mm-hmm. And even if it's at your house, mm-hmm. you know, do a yoga class in your garage, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to do, but you got to be working out with some intensity,
yeah.
and holding each other accountable.
Yeah. And I think you're right, Jim. I think it's definitely easier if you have an exercise buddy,
yeah.
to do it with, for sure. And, you know, that gives you accountability. And during your workout too, it gives you some motivation, right? Because naturally we're competitive. We like to do a little bit better than the person next to us. And so, That's a good thing.
Jennifer, what are the differences between men and women in the area of eating? Do you find that generally women are easier to teach and a little more self-disciplined, or men? Tell me how you...
It totally depends, Jim. It is, everybody is so uniquely different. It's really interesting. I will say one big difference, which is really frustrating for most women, is that generally speaking, men lose weight quite a lot faster than women do. Mm. And the main reason for that is actually, it's not rocket science, and it actually doesn't even depend on gender specifically, but what it depends on is muscle mass. Mm. So in general, men have a little more muscle mass than women. And so that really drives the metabolism. So you could use that knowledge for your benefit as well. And you could be thinking, oh, if I can increase my muscle mass, what's going to happen to my metabolism? Well, my metabolism is going to get better, and this whole thing is going to get easier.
Well, and you got to remember, muscle weighs more than fat.
Yeah.
So if your focus is on your weight,
right.
you add a little muscle mass, you might be contradicting the very thing you should be trying to accomplish.
Exactly. And actually, that's the travesty of using the BMI at the doctor's office rather than using a body composition, mm-hmm. because they can be very different. You can have somebody with a normal BMI that is very overfat, mm. or you can have somebody that is technically overweight by the BMI standards that actually is perfectly healthy in terms of their muscle mass.
Yeah.
And so I think that distinction would be better, and I wish that doctors could test more of that more often.
We have one more segment coming up with Jennifer Bryant, Nourished Nutrition Counseling. I don't know why I'm fumbling over that. I've only said it 8,000 times.
That's probably why.
Nourished Nutrition Counseling, Jennifer Bryant. We're going to have one more segment with Jennifer. We're going to make it fun for callers. We have tickets to the Casting Crowns concert here in Albuquerque on November 4th. We'll give you 2 tickets if you call in to Jennifer. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
No matter what, your system is going to break.
Are you kidding me?
When it does, give Bosque Heating and Cooling a call.
Perfect.
That's 444-7200. Whatever it is, Bosque is just a call away. 444-7200. Yeah, that's their number. 444-7200. Or visit www.ourhouseishot.com. That's www.ourhouseishot.com.
For King and Country, Burn the Ships World Tour.
G'day to you, it's Joel and Luke here.
This fall, we'd like to personally invite you to Burn the Ships of the World Tour on October 19th at Tingley Coliseum.
A stage inspired by the bow of a ship and their most elaborate yet intimate production yet. Every song from the new CD, Burn the Ships, plus all your favorites.
So we cannot wait to embark on this voyage with you.
For King and Country, live.
Reserve your seats right now at thekingcountry.com.
On KNKT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Jennifer Bryant in studio this afternoon with us. How do you eat less calories than your body will burn? Jennifer, how do you do that?
Well, it's, again, it's more complicated than just answering the question, right? Because we have all of these other components to our lives, right? So first we have to think about hunger, right? Because when you decrease your calories, you're hungry. And so that's an innate desire to feed your body and to nourish your body. And it is really hard to ignore that. Right.
Well, I'm going to use myself as a bad example. So what can I do? Being on a Christian radio station and being the bad example can't be a good thing, right? Okay, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning. I read, I exercise, I do a lot of different things, and generally I do not eat in the morning.
Right.
Many times I get so busy and I'm so obsessive about getting ready for radio shows and sales meetings and different things that I don't eat lunch either.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get home and I'm starving.
Yep.
So I would think, gee, that's kind of like a fast, right?
Yes, yes, it is.
And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, so that's a good question too, Jim. So intermittent fasting is a big deal right now, right? A lot of people are doing intermittent fasting and there's lots of different ways to do it. You can do a 12, 14, 16 hour fast during the day, where then you only have, you know, a 6 to 8 hour period of where you're actually eating during the day. Or some people like to do it where they're fasting for a couple days a week, maybe 2 days a week, 3 days a week, and then they're actually eating for the other days. And a lot of times intermittent fasting doesn't mean zero calories, but it means very limited calories. So there's a lot of different ways to do it. And again, we don't know what is best. So there's a lot of research and a lot of it's conflicting. There's one area where we know that actually fasting and giving your metabolism and your body a break for an extended period of time is actually really good for you. And that's actually with diabetes.
Mm.
Specifically type 2 diabetes. But what is happening is it gives our pancreas specifically a rest that it really needs so that it doesn't have to produce the insulin. And that actually makes the insulin work better in those times where these people are actually eating. So that is the one time where I recommend intermittent fasting is for some of my clients who have diabetes. That being said, I think it's totally dependent on the person. So, and this, you mentioned it, Jim, but when you allow yourself to get overly hungry, like you just talked about, mm-hmm. what kind of a choice do you make when you're choosing your food?
Well, here's my problem. As soon as I walk into my house, oh, there's that bag of M&Ms on the table. Uh-huh. So I'll grab a handful of those. And then I end up, you know, oh, well, I'm going to balance that by drinking some water. Okay. Really healthy water.
Right.
And then I just don't feel like I do feel low energy.
Right.
And so I'm trying now to get up and have some yogurt and maybe some granola.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Linda makes the best granola in the world, trying to get her to start selling it. It's amazing. When she gives me some of that, I have that for breakfast.
Uh-huh.
But I generally miss lunch so much because, it's not that I miss lunch. Like I wish I had lunch. I just skip over it because I don't even remember that it's time to eat.
Right. So I think that that's the question. If you get into a situation where you're overly hungry, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with self-control. Right? We don't have the self-control to make a good choice. So it's not good to let ourselves get hungry.
Jennifer, we never have all the time we need to talk. Hey, great. Have a great vacation in Disney World. We'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on ABQ Connect.
Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KNKT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KNKT. If you missed any or part of today's show, get the free podcast at abqconnect.online.